Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program presented for Share International on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the ageless wisdom teachings and the highly evolved teachers called the Masters of Wisdom, who inspire us to live in good relationship to each other and the Earth, our planetary home. We're fortunate to be here in this time of transition between the ages of Pisces and Aquarius, as these separative ways move out of our mode of living and the structures to create justice and peace are ushered in. To accomplish this long-awaited task, the teachers tell us that by learning to share resources among the nations, we will transform society towards oneness, trust, and harmony. To help us accomplish this, the Masters inspire us in many fields: science, art, politics, and economics. The teaching covers all aspects of the art of living, including our connection with our brothers from other planets and their efforts to teach us how to live in right relationship as planetary and solar system citizens.
Good morning, everyone. Today, our information is from the Save Our Planet section of Share International magazine. We bring you news of a follow-up film from Al Gore and some inspiring news from the efforts of ordinary people who take responsibility for trash on their local beach. This is not just the usual beach. It is close to a slum area in India, and the debris was shin deep.
And now from Save Our Planet section of Share International magazine. It's entitled An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power. It's time to fight like your world depends on it. The follow-up film to Al Gore's 2006 Oscar-winning documentary An Inconvenient Truth made its debut in January at the Sundance Film Festival to a standing ovation. An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, was launched just as the current administration was taking office, with the tagline, "It's time to fight like your world depends on it." The film recounts progress over the past decade to strengthen environmental protection, showcasing the Paris Agreement, which aims to reduce carbon emissions worldwide. At Sundance, Gore was interviewed by Democracy Now's Amy Goodman and remarked on what he calls the sustainability revolution that is now rapidly unfolding. It has the breadth and scope of the industrial revolution, but the speed of the information revolution. The film was also screened in May at the Cannes Film Festival, where Gore was reported as saying that President Trump would be unable to stop the momentum that would shift society away from fossil fuels. We now know, after 4 months of the Trump administration, no one person, not even a president, can stop the climate movement, Gore told a news conference at the French Film Festival. An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, is on general release from August 2017, and the source from this is from Slate.com and Reuters.com, democracynow.org and /film.com.
So the next little article is titled, Giving Up Plastic. The grotesque image of 38 million pieces of plastic washed up on uninhabited Henderson Island, a remote and uninhabited Pacific coral atoll, was a stark reminder of the plague of plastic sweeping the oceans. In June 2017, the Marine Conservation Society, MCS, launched its Plastic Challenge to raise awareness about taking steps to reduce our plastic consumption and slash our plastic footprint. Across the UK, there are glaring discrepancies in recycling quotas between different counties. Even conscientious recyclers are often left very frustrated about the amount of plastic they can't recycle. For example, in Scotland, residents get 5 recycling bins and can recycle toothbrushes and yogurt pot lids, while in North Yorkshire, people are not even able to recycle black plastic. MCS's Plastic Challenge advocates monitoring the amount of plastic that is thrown away weekly, dividing it into what could and could not be recycled. Siobhan McCready of North Yorkshire was horrified by how much plastic accumulated over 1 week. She says, "My non-recyclable pile of plastic was much bigger than my recyclable pile, and it really made me think that all this is just going to end up in a slag heap in the ground. It's just bonkers and really sad."
Replacing online grocery deliveries and plastic bags for local greengrocers and delicatessens reduced her plastic consumption by about 25%. However, Siobhan admitted this had to be offset against a higher carbon footprint. As she said again, "I've had to drive to separate places to avoid buying an item wrapped in plastic. It's been a really time-consuming process." The Marine Conservation Society has acknowledged that the plastic challenge is tough and not about living completely plastic-free. "These days, that would be pretty near impossible," MCS stated. Their mission is to raise awareness that consumers can make a difference by giving up single-use plastic products like bottles, bags, or ready meals. Other tips include using soap bars instead of hand wash and plastic pump dispensers, using plastic-free toiletries and refillable household eco products, buying scoopable produce such as rice, nuts, pulses and couscous, ordering home milk delivery in glass bottles, self-scanning loose fruit and veggie into reusable bags, using loose tea instead of tea bags, which contain small amounts of plastic. And the source for this was mcsuk.org.guardian.com.
And here's another article from the same issue of Share International magazine titled "World's Largest Beach Cleanup, Trash Ridden to Pristine in 2 Years" by Joe McCarthy. A lot of people take part in community cleanup efforts, spending a Saturday morning picking up litter in a park, mowing an overgrown field, or painting a fence. But not everyone has the drive to do what a young lawyer and environmentalist in Mumbai recently accomplished. In 2015, Afroz Shah moved to an apartment near Vasova Beach, an ignored strip of ocean near slums. He was shocked by the pollution that he saw. The beach was covered in rotting garbage. Nobody could walk along the beach, let alone swim in the water, without being assaulted by the smell. He says, "The plastic was 5.5 feet high. A man could drown in the plastic," Shah told CNN. "I said, I'm going to do something. I have to protect my environment, and it requires ground action." At first, Shah and his neighbour, an 84-year-old man, would go out and pick up as much trash as they could. After a while, Shah realised that he had to expand his team if he was going to make a dent in what was essentially an environmental crisis. He began knocking on doors and talking with local residents, explaining the harm caused by marine pollution. His determination inspired a lot of people, and soon dozens, hundreds, and eventually more than 1,000 volunteers from all walks of life pitched in.
Cleanups were ironically called dates with the ocean because they were really arduous affairs, shin-deep in rotting garbage under the scorching Indian sun, according to the United Nations. Global Citizen reported on the 33-year-old lawyer's efforts in 2016, but his volunteer organisation, Vasova Residents Volunteers, was only halfway through with the massive undertaking, which is being hailed by the United Nations Environment Programme as the world's largest cleanup effort. Now, after 21 months of toil, they picked up 11,684,500 pounds of trash, most of it plastic, that had accumulated along the shoreline. They also cleaned 52 public toilets and planted 50 coconut trees. For his vision and hard work, United Nations awarded him the Champion of the Earth Award. "I am an ocean lover and feel that we owe a duty to our ocean to make it free of plastic," he told the United Nations. I just hope this is the beginning for coastal communities across India and the world. Shah's work didn't end with the last piece of trash picked up either. He wants to plant thousands of coconut trees to return the beach to the lagoon it once was, and he now works to limit the amount of garbage that makes it to the beach in the first place by, for example, building barriers along creeks upstream that carry litter to the beach.
He's also planning to expand his cleanup effort to the coastline's mangrove forests, which are similarly infested with garbage. When clean and unobstructed, these forests can act as powerful filtration systems and also form a natural defence against storms. Shah also hopes to bring grassroots cleanup efforts to other parts of India, inspiring a nationwide awareness of environmentalism. Ultimately, Shah wants to export this mentality throughout the world, cleaning up oceans and ecosystems to create a world that can foster life in all its splendour. It's going to be an uphill battle. Each year, 8 to 13 million tonnes of plastic make it into the world's oceans each year, the equivalent of 2 garbage trucks filled with plastic every minute. Throughout the world, there are about 5 plastic bags filled with plastic for every foot of coastline. By 2050, plastic could outweigh fish in the oceans. While companies are to blame for the massive amounts of plastic produced and sold, plastic pollution often happens on an individual level. But if Shah's work proves anything, individuals can transform their relationship to garbage. And if his style of enthusiastic environmentalism catches on around the world, then more beaches will begin to look like Vasova Beach of today than the Vasova Beach of 2 years ago. And that was reprinted from the website globalcitizen.org. And on the website they state, "We are a social action platform for a global generation that wants to solve the world's biggest challenges. On our platform, you can learn about issues, take action on what matters most, and join a community committed to social change. We believe we can end extreme poverty by 2030 because of the collective actions of global citizens across the world."
And now I have a piece to read to you entitled "Awakening to Responsibility," and it's by The Master through Benjamin Krem, and it was first recorded in May 1989. In former times, changes took place slowly, and for long centuries, society remained relatively static in its structure and activity. Furthermore, large areas of the world were unknown to each other. Communication, even between near neighbours, was spasmodic and confined to traders and soldiers for the most part. Today, all of this is transformed. In almost every corner of the world, communications flourish and bring the events of each day to the attention of all. Nowhere is it possible to be unaware of the swift and often savage happenings which assault the eyes and ears of billions daily. In a very real sense, the world has shrunk to village size. And, as in village life, the actions of one affect the lives and interests of all. No longer can any nation stand aside and claim immunity from the results of all its misdeeds. Power alone no longer confers this privilege. More and more, the nations are awakening to their mutual dependence and responsibility. And this fact augurs well for the world. At long last, under pressure from their peoples, governments are accepting the need to cherish and nourish the environment on which all future life depends. Without such wise husbandry, the future for mankind would be bleak indeed. Gradually, it is being realized by those who make decisions that time is not on the side of those who despoil and poison the planet, that resources are not unlimited, and that nature recoils from exploitation and assault. There is a growing awareness that careful and concerted action on a global scale alone can remedy the many transgressions of the natural order, which man's ignorance and greed has brought about. A start is being made, but many years of dedicated action will be required, even to halt the menace of pollution and depredation which threatens man now. Fortunately, not all in the future sounds so dark a note. Man, as ever, is not alone, and steps have been taken to release to him the knowledge of new and cleaner and safer modes of generating power. Technologies altogether new will transform daily living and leave man time and impulse to explore his own being and purpose. Thus equipped, man will learn to work and live in harmony with nature, coaxing from her richness a brimming cornucopia, sustaining all he could desire or need. When men see the Christ, the issues will be clearly placed before them. Men now face the challenge to work together for the well-being of all and to remake their ways of living with sufficiency the key, or to sound the death knell of a planet already solely stressed and so place their future in greatest jeopardy. Maitreya himself has no doubt that men will hear and answer his call. And this article was from Share International magazine. Thank you.
And now I would like to read a message from Maitreya that was conveyed through Benjamin Creme during a public lecture in London some years ago. It's message number 66. My dear friends, I am happy indeed to be with you once more in this way. My mission proceeds. All that I hope for is being achieved and augurs well for the future. My plan is to present myself to the people of the world within so short a time that few indeed will doubt my presence. My words will teach you the ways of God, the way forward into the blessed future which I see before you. Into the light of the highest dreams of man shall I take you. The path of brotherhood will vouchsafe this for you. My plan is to realize within you that which you truly are, to show you that you stem from the Godhead itself and to that divine source must return. My mission will ease for you that passage, that long journey back to your rightful heritage. When we meet as brothers, my friends, you will find in me a teacher and guide who knows well the way. For long since have I made that self-same journey and know by heart the signposts on the way. Make sure that you miss me not. Look well, my friends, for my appearance may surprise you. As a simple man indeed am I now among you, teaching my friends and brothers on the way, releasing to them my gifts of love, wisdom, and joy, gathering them to me as brothers in work. You, likewise, my dear friends, can rest in the knowledge that your work for me and for your brothers is welcome indeed. I need you all who will take upon themselves the burden of service to the world, to create anew this shining world out of the chaos of the past. My blessings go with you all. May the divine light and love and power of the one most holy God be now manifest within your hearts and minds. May this manifestation lead you to see yourselves as my co-workers, brothers in light.
And thank you very much for listening in today. We are a group of volunteers who have concerns about the state of our environment in the world and in New Zealand in particular, and particularly the state of our rivers. As the previous article relates, each of us can do something towards restoring our natural heritage. If you would like information about the work of Benjamin Creme and co-workers, you can find it at share-international.org, or you can write to us about the radio presentations and the PowerPoint presentations we are giving in the Auckland community. And the address is Box 34491, Birkenhead 0746. Thank you once again, and love and blessings to all.